Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Save $200 when you put in code word HOWIE3. Sale is just for this week only and while supplies last. Order at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It's already Thursday. Time flies when you're dealing with the mainstream media. And we have tons of stuff to get to. Obviously, journalism in the news, MSNBC, CNN are at it again. There's a lot of stories out there that are catching my eye today. But specifically, I do want to talk about Cuba, because the response to what is going on in Cuba is very indicative of the liberal mindset and, you know, how they actually feel about freedom and protest. And we're going to go through it. I'm going to start with the tweet that took my breath away. Reuters, they had quite the take on the Cuban protests. And Red State wrote that it shows why journalism is truly dead. Now, here is their take. And the reason I want to go through this is because this is going to be very familiar. This level of hypocrisy is going to be very familiar for all of us here in the United States, because we dealt with a similar issue with the liberal media. They're worried that Cuban protests are risking making a COVID-19 spike worse. And there's a picture of all of these people in Cuba protesting. And this got me thinking. I obviously rolled my eyes into the back of my head, because once again, it's like a light switch, you know? When there's a protest or a gathering that does not suit the liberal agenda. And somebody on social media pointed out perfectly yesterday, you know, there's a reason that Mallorca and Biden and Psaki don't want to take over Cuban refugees who are fleeing that situation, because they're fleeing the exact kind of utopia that Democrats hope to put us in. So it's a bad look, you know? It doesn't look good for Democrats when they've been talking about communism and socialism and all of these things. And now all of a sudden, all these people are coming over here. And not only are they saying, you guys don't want this, it is not good. Free healthcare, free education, not what it's cracked up to be. But they're also probably not going to be Biden voters, or Kamala Harris voters, or AOC voters. So now they have to switch, they have to flip the switch again. And so suddenly, and I've seen a lot of pathetic takes to what's happening in Cuba. You saw Bernie Sanders was saying, oh, you know, we have to lift the embargo. This is what this is. And then on Twitter, Jack Dorsey was spreading the story that, oh, this is because of the vaccine. You know, they're mad that they haven't been able to get their hands on the vaccine. No one wants to say the truth, which is this is about communism and the oppressive government there. And even when Peter Ducey asked Jen Psaki, again, she had to duck and dive the question, because they can't say that word. They don't want to say communism because they love it so much and they would hate to paint it in a bad light. But now we switch back to these protests are going to cause COVID. They're going to be, ready for this? You haven't heard this in a while. I'm going to throw this at you. Super spreaders. They could make things a lot worse. And when I read that headline, I felt the anger course through my veins, because I don't think a lot of people are going to be able to get over the fact that for almost a year, we were told that if credulous boomer rubes got together and held up American flags and protested the lockdown, they were redneck, idiot Neanderthals. In fact, Patton Oswalt, I'll never forget this tweet. He compared, he made fun of those people protesting the lockdowns and said that they wanted Fuddruckers to open. That was the level of disgust he had for people who were standing up for their freedoms. Those people were described as selfish grandma killers. And then a few months later, these Black Lives Matter peaceful protests started. We had the Summer of Love, complete with bricks and Molotov cocktails and burning cities. And suddenly the mainstream media, they had to kind of figure out how they were going to handle this. And what they did was just completely pretend that we were all stupid enough to buy that these protests are okay. If you even want to call them that, let's be honest. Let's call them what they were. They were riots. But Black Lives Matter riots were fine. Lockdowns were not fine. Black Lives Matter riots were great, and that was a symbol of freedom, and that's what this country is built on, is peaceful protest, even if you are burning things down. But your six-year-old's birthday party or your son's graduation or your mother or your grandmother's wake, not okay. Bad. Super spreader. Dangerous. COVID city. COVID does not take a day off. And so when I saw this talk about a COVID-19 spike, they have, you know, Joe Biden asked yesterday, do Republicans have any shame? I know I don't need to ask Democrats because I know they don't. Because when you see people rising up against decades of oppression and you have the nerve, the gall, the audacity to say, just so you know, you might be risking an uptick in COVID. That is the biggest slap in the face to what's happening. And the funny part of it is that when these situations would come up, I remember Jim Jordan, Congressman Jim Jordan, was asking Dr. Fauci about this. Because like so many Americans, he was so frustrated watching it. How come one protest is okay and one isn't? And Dr. Fauci, St. Fauci, the cat got his tongue. He couldn't really come up with an answer. Let's play that. Cut 30, please.
Should we limit the protesting?
I'm not sure what you mean. How do we say limit the protesting?
Should government limit the protesting?
I don't think that's relevant to...
Well, you just said if it increases the spread of the virus, I'm just asking, should we limit it?
Well, I'm not in a position to determine what the government can do in a forceful way.
Well, you make all kinds of recommendations. You make comments on dating, on baseball, on everything you can imagine. I'm just asking, you just said that protests increase the spread. No. I'm just asking, should we try to limit the protests?
No, I think I would leave that to people who have more of a position to do that.
I wonder if Fauci would make a comment on these Cuba protests. I'm sure he would say, you know, there's probably a lot of droplets flying around. I would encourage those people in Cuba to maybe sit tight. I know the freedom thing is important, but maybe put that on hold. Stop being so selfish. And of course, the person who really came to mind, now this is because I am in Massachusetts, so I have Charlie Baker on the brain. I don't usually start with a local cut, but Baker was a huge proponent of the peaceful protests. And yet, wasn't a big fan of, I don't know, family dinners. You know, he was weighing or measuring butterballs. He was yelling at kids for gathering for Bruins games. But when the peaceful protests happened, the man who was measuring your 6 feet, the plexiglass prince, had a change of heart. He realized some things are more important, you know? Sure, COVID's out there, but sometimes we have to prioritize. Let's play cut 24.
Massachusetts had one bad day all the way through all the activity of last summer. You know, literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people peacefully demonstrated here in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. One bad day. One bad day. But if you tried to open up your business, if you tried to squeeze a seventh person into your six-person table, if you were a couple of kids who, I don't know, went out to a St. Patrick's Day party without a mask on, Charlie Baker would get a lot more stern with you. You know, that stuff we can't mess with. But here's the issue, is that liberals don't get to decide when freedom is called for and when it's not. They don't get to decide well, listen, you want to protest and you want your kids to go back to school and you want to open up your small business. That's selfish. But if a Black Lives Matter leader wants to start a protest, then that is justified. That is heroic. That's not their decision to make. That's not how this country works. And it happened over and over again. And so now they're trying to use it on Cuba. And what's really amazing, speaking of Black Lives Matter, it all ties in together. They actually put out a statement about this. Now you have to hear this. The people of Cuba are being punished by, care to guess, Jared?
Donald Trump.
Close. The U.S. government, because the country has maintained its commitment to sovereignty and self-determination. United States leaders have tried to crush this revolution for decades. Instead of international respect and goodwill, the U.S. government has only instigated suffering for the country's 11 million people, of which 4 million are Black and brown. Now we look to President Biden to end the embargo, something Barack Obama called for in 2016. The embargo is a blatant human rights violation and it must come to an end. There's a good piece in the New York Post and it's called Summer is a Bummer for Socialists. And it breaks down why this embargo conversation is such BS. But it's amazing how we are to blame for everything. These Black Lives Matter protesters, when they're not buying $3 million homes in Topanga Canyon or however many millions that was worth, they hate America. They hate America. You know, Trump was America first. Liberals are America's fault. We are always the ones to blame. Don't worry about communism. That's keep that out of your mouth. But America, we have something to answer for here. It's really incredible. And a lot of people were reacting to this, including Ben Shapiro, who said, reminder, Black Lives Matter is a horrible communist organization and always was. I agree. I'm so glad I never fell for this scam that so many young people fell for with the black squares and, you know, giving money to Black Lives Matter. It's every day it becomes more and more obvious that these are really, really bad people who are running this organization. And the statement they made about Cuba is just another layer of proof on that. We'll be back. I'll take your calls, 844-500-4242. So much sound to get to. We are going to play, I've been getting some questions about the Tucker Carlson segment yesterday. We will be playing a lot of that, kind of going through exactly what he said. I always know Tucker's onto something if Daily Beast and Vox and Jonah Goldberg start calling him a conspiracy theorist. That's usually when the little red flag in my mind goes off and says, you might want to play this segment because he's probably saying something that's going to end up being true. And I don't know what, 48 hours, maybe a week. Eden Pure has brought back the 3-pack for this week only. You can save $200 for the Eden Pure 3-pack and you'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. One for your basement, first floor and second floor, all in one easy package. This is an awesome purchase. Allergy season is here. And Jared, I have to imagine that the allergies get worse when you're stuck in rooms that are just AC'd, air conditioned all the time.
Yes, the air gets stale, which it can start to smell too, but you're just usually recirculating the pollen and the things in the air that you don't want. But the Eden Pure Thunderstorm takes care of that. You don't have to worry about that because it ionizes the air and it creates a super oxygen. So it filters, it purifies, it cleans the air that you're breathing. So even if you're stuck inside, you're not breathing all the nasty recycled air. You're breathing good, clean air with the thunderstorm.
Exactly. And it's also great for smells, any sort of odor. You just turn it on and it works in a matter of minutes. It's also very small and very affordable. So you're not lugging out a big, you know, huge Ghostbusters type of machine. This is an easy, nice looking product. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com, click my name and use code word GRACE3. The 3-pack special is for this week only. We will be back with more on Cuba, on Tucker, on Dr. Fauci, and on the FBI. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. If you can't keep track, this is how it works. If you have a protest that Democrats think is advancing their cause, then you are in the clear. You're okay. Green light. Go ahead. Grab a brick. Let's see what you can do. If you have a protest for anything that the liberals think is going to hurt their cause, whether that be freedom, you know, opening up, sending your kids back to school, protesting communism, well, then we are suddenly concerned that this could be a super spreader. And that is on hypocrisy. Speaking of that, Jerry, can we also play the cut of Kamala Harris way back when talking about the protests?
I know that there are protests still happening in major cities across the United States. I'm just not seeing the reporting on it that I had for the first few weeks.
That's right. But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And that's this is a movement. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that they're not going to let up, and they should not. And we should not.
But what about the super spreading? What happened to the super spreading? I'm confused. Yeah, and that's just one example. I mean, we were told over and over again that these massive events were good. In fact, Chris Cuomo said, whoever said protests, where in the Constitution does it say protests have to be peaceful? And now, not only can you not protest, but again, they're accusing you of spreading COVID. And I think one of the biggest hypocrites, and trust me, it is a stiff competition when it comes to the mainstream news outlets and who is the worst. Because I remember a lot of it. I always say this, but my Rolodex is in media hacks. And I will never forget the way they treated Donald Trump, but specifically in my diary is Jim Acosta, because he was the biggest fraud when it came to immigration. When Trump was trying to highlight some of the problems in our immigration system, Jim Acosta had the audacity to say in front of Angel Mothers, what do you say to people who think you're manufacturing a crisis? And then when there actually were problems, like the family separation, Jim Acosta was the first one on Twitter, you know, posting infographics, crying about it. You know what he said about Cuba and the fact that Mallorca has decided not to let Cuban refugees into the country? I'll give you a hint. Nada. Nothing. Stephen Miller says, Jim Acosta retweeted out Olivia Rodrigo at the White House twice. She's that singer. Got my driver's license. It is a jam. I'll give her that. Still, nothing on Cuban government violent crackdown on protesters. No retweets of videos. No tweets. Nothing. And now you know how performative the immigration hysterics were for the last 4 years. It's an act. And the only thing that's sad, the real sad part of it is, whenever the Democrats choose what their outrage is going to be, I'm sure the people who are focused on, you know, the people in the migrant centers think that they're being legit, but they don't actually care. They're just using you for the Time magazine cover. And then once it gets proven that it's false, they move on. And watching these people stay silent on this is really telling. It truly is. What I want to talk about, though, coming up is the FBI. If you've been wanting to rant about the FBI, now is the time. If you haven't heard this story, the FBI made a big mistake. And they had a whoopsies. And it's not the first one, believe it or not. I think, what do people call them? FBI, famous but incompetent? Is that what it is? Well, that's true. Dr. Larry Nassar from the Olympics, he was the Olympic doctor. They really bungled that investigation, and all the details are coming out now. And it's even worse than that. It's not only that they were inactive and didn't, you know, just like they were with the Parkland shooting and all that stuff. We have a whole list of things to go through, but they also lied. And this is a big problem. And once again, you know who called this? Who said the FBI was terrible from day one? Not Howie Carr, although he did too. But Donald J. Trump. I gotta ask, was Donald J. Trump proven more right when he was in office or the 6 months since he's been out? because this guy's been right about almost everything. We'll be right back talking FBI. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Black Lives Matter under fire for defending Cuban regime, blaming protests on U.S. Well, everything's the U.S.'s fault. Come on. Come on, man. That's the number one rule of being a woke social justice warrior. It's like that kid on his bike who got off of his bicycle to pull out the American flag and slam it into the concrete sidewalk, and his mom just watched on, looked at him proudly. This is what we're creating in our society. So naturally, when people see uprisings in Cuba and they are so uninformed, they think that this is our fault. It's really stunning. Now, speaking of the blame game, the FBI is in a little bit of a situation. And this is on a serious note. Incredible. I mean, they've messed up a lot before. There's no denying it. The Parkland shooting, they had tons of red flags. I think the shooter's aunt called the FBI and talked to them for minutes, like something like 5 or 7, or maybe it was even more. Richard Jewell, the Boston Marathon, a lot of red flags. Even Ruby Ridge was a weird situation. Waco, the FBI, they have a interesting history, to say the least. But what came out today about how they handled the investigation into Larry Nassar is pretty disgusting. I'm going to read it, but first I want to play you this, because whenever Trump criticized the FBI, the left had to obviously go the opposite way and defend them. But listen to this Trump criticism, cut 32.
And our FBI have to start doing their job and doing it right and doing it now. Because people are angry. What's happening is a disgrace. And at some point, I wanted to stay out, but at some point, if it doesn't straighten out properly, I want them to do their job. I will get involved and I'll get in there if I have to.
Yeah, he wasn't talking about this situation, but it's kind of one of those standing headlines. You could apply that to pretty much everything the FBI deals with. The DOJ Office of the Inspector General found the senior officials in the FBI Indianapolis field office failed to respond to allegations of sexual abuse of athletes by former USA gymnastics physician Lawrence Gerard Nassar, Larry Nassar, with the urgency that the allegations required. We also found that the FBI Indianapolis field office made fundamental errors when it did respond to the allegations, failed to notify the appropriate FBI field office or state or local authorities of the allegations, and failed to take other steps to mitigate the ongoing threat posed by Nassar. After 8 months of inaction, I'm going to read that part again. After 8 months of inaction by the FBI Indianapolis field office, the FBI Los Angeles field office received the same allegations. The OIG found that while the LA field office took numerous investigative steps, it too failed to notify the FBI Lansing resident agency or state or local authorities of the allegations and failed to take other steps to mitigate the ongoing threat posed by Nassar. The FBI Lansing resident agency did not become aware of the Nassar allegations until after the Michigan State University Police Department executed a search warrant on Nassar's residence in September of 2016. Following the Michigan State University Police Department's receipt of separate complaints of sexual abuse by Nassar and discovered child pornography at his residence. During this period, from July 15th, when the allegations were first reported to the FBI, to September of 2016, Nassar continued to treat gymnasts at Michigan State University, a high school in Michigan, and a gymnastics club in Michigan, three different places. Michigan State University, a high school in Michigan, and a gymnastics club in Michigan. Ultimately, the investigations determined that Nassar had engaged in sexual assault of over 100 victims and possessed thousands of images of child pornography, led to his convictions in federal and state court, and resulted in Nassar being sentenced to incarceration for over 100 years. The OIG further found that when the FBI's handling of the Nassar matter came under scrutiny from the public, Congress, the media, and FBI headquarters in 2017 and 2018, Indianapolis field office officials did not take responsibility for their failures. Instead, now this is where it gets really bad. It's already bad enough because there should have been a level of urgency here. This guy is in three different spots where he can do this and inflict this abuse onto young women. And there's no urgency from the FBI. But it gets worse. Instead, they provided incomplete and inaccurate information to make it appear that they had been diligent in responding to the sexual abuse allegations. Officials in the Indianapolis field office violated numerous FBI policies in handling the Nassar allegations. Specifically, officials in that office failed to formally document a July 28, 2015 meeting with USA Gymnastics during which the FBI first received the allegations against Nassar, failed to properly handle and document receipt and review of relevant evidence, a thumb drive provided to them by USA Gymnastics President Stephen Penny, failed to document until February 2017 an interview of a gymnast that was conducted on September 2nd, 2015, during which the gymnast alleged sexual abuse, sexual assault by Nassar, and failed to transfer the Nassar allegations to the FBI Lansing resident agency, where venue most likely would have existed for potential federal crimes. And it goes into it a little bit further, but the point is they just disregarded these accusations or these complaints of sexual assault by these Olympic gymnasts, and then they tried to cover up their mistakes. It's disgusting. And the saddest part is it's not surprising. I'm only 29 years old, so I know that my older listeners are like, oh, yeah, well, obviously, Grace, it's the FBI. But even in the short amount of time I've been covering politics or just news in general, the FBI has an incredibly bad track record. Sean Davis from The Federalist really summarized exactly what everyone was thinking, so I can't take credit for it, but he said, if only Nassar had visited D.C. or purchased a Lego set, the FBI might have actually cared about throwing him in prison. They're determined to find every grandma who walked into the rotunda with a Trump flag on her shoulders. They're determined to get you to rat out your aunt who was at the insurrection. You know, they're going to make everybody admit that they were brainwashed by Donald Trump. They'll spend all day on that. They'll survey the texts, the tweets, the misinformation. But this, a predator, is just, it's not a priority for them. They have bigger fish to fry. They have Trump supporters that they need to find.
To paraphrase President Joe Biden, FBI, have you no shame?
Have you no shame?
There's also no way they could have totally covered up anything they did in the insurrection either. I'm just saying.
Well, the part of it,
there's not a history of this.
The part of it that drives me the most crazy is that one of these gymnasts, and probably a few of them, but one of them originally was brave enough to come forward and say something. And when you have that kind of information, it's one thing to have that information and say, all right, well, you know, he's dead or, you know, he's in jail already. We'll figure out what we can do. But if you have that information and you know that person's still out there, still seeing young girls on a daily basis, and you don't feel compelled to handle that situation, I can't imagine what other things they're worried about. It's besides the Lego sets. Besides the old people who stumbled into the Capitol, who they're tracking down on Facebook.
I'm very sorry that this trusted official violated you, but was there a noose involved? Because if there wasn't a noose involved, we can't do anything. Sorry.
That's another thing I almost forgot about. That was the NASCAR thing, right? With
Bubba Wallace?
Bubba Wallace, yeah. They had to get on that case real quick. It's embarrassing, and I want to play because I was looking through some FBI old takes. This is Andy McCabe, and he's blaming somebody for making the FBI look bad. I'll give you one guess. Cut 33.
An hour.
When the president and his supporters continually perpetuate this false narrative of corruption within the FBI, that makes their job harder every day.
One of the stories you recount in the book is...
Oh, let's hear that again. That's beautiful.
When the president and his supporters continually perpetuate this false narrative of corruption within the FBI, that makes their job harder every day.
Stop it. Get some help.
Makes their job so hard that they can't even do their job. You know, they can't even do a follow-up phone call. They can't even file a report, print out a receipt. That's how hard Donald Trump made their job. Let's also play, I always remembered during the Mueller investigation, you know, all the impeachments, whenever the FBI came up and whenever Donald Trump was voicing an opinion that MSNBC didn't like, Joe Scarborough would get, now keep in mind, he has a picture of Bob Mueller in his kitchen. He one time tweeted out a framed portrait of Bob Mueller and put it up in his kitchen. Mika in his kitchen. You know, they're married. And so he put that up in his kitchen. He loves Bob Mueller. He's a hero. He's a patriot. He wasn't as crazy about Bob when Bob, you know, didn't say Donald Trump is guilty as charged. Throw him away. Lock up the key. No, he wasn't. Then he kind of lost his love for Mueller. But he becomes this like patriotic hardo when he feels that people are criticizing the FBI. And just because of today, and it's so obvious the FBI is the worst. Let's play this cut from Joe.
There are FBI agents that are going around. They're trying to get intel. They're trying to get information. They're trying to break apart terror networks of homegrown terrorists that want to blow up your church, that want to blow up your synagogue, that want to kill you or your family or other people in your community. And it is these FBI agents who stand between you, me, all of us, and future terror attacks, either by members of ISIS that infiltrate this country or by homegrown terrorists.
If only they could have channeled some of that energy into interviewing Larry Nassar or just, you know, filing a report on him, how different things might be. It's really, I'm being, you know, a little bit sarcastic in my delivery here, but it really is heartbreaking to think about all of those women who were so brave, despite the fact that the FBI is incompetent and can't do their jobs. And it's kind of high time we start talking about that. Donald Trump was one of the only people who wanted to acknowledge it. But I think that he woke us up to a lot of problems, especially in our government and in our government agencies. But I never knew how swampy and how bad they were. All right, guys, when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Tucker Carlson segment heard around the world last night. He's confirming what a lot of people thought was happening in Georgia. And he's basically saying that there was fraud. There was meaningful voter fraud. And we're going to play those cuts. I want to hear what you guys think about it. So much more stuff to get to. It's really crazy today. So we will get to all of it on the other side. And also, journalism in the news, for sure. Because Stephanie Roll had a hot take that will just crack you up. It's true what they say at Perfect Smiles. Change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. Howie Carr has a beautiful set of teeth. Do not tell him I said that because it will make his ego get bigger. But he does have a really nice smile. And so does the mailroom manager. And it's amazing to see all of the people who go to Perfect Smiles and they just walk out totally different. The one thing I hear from a lot of people, I actually ran into a guy who went to Perfect Smiles at our last remote. And the one thing I hear from people is, I just wish I had done it a little bit sooner, because you never regret it, you know, and it adds such a joy to your life when you can walk around and be proud of how you look and how your smile looks. It changes how you feel. Perfect Smiles is conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire. Dr. Houghton is awesome. He's an artist. He's incredible. Just getting your teeth cleaned, all the people that work at Perfect Smiles sing Dr. Houghton's praises because he's just the nicest guy. And he's really incredible at what he does. If you've been wanting to upgrade your look for years, contact them today and look at their video testimonials. Don't take my word for it. Go to PerfectSmiles.com. Look at the videos. The proof, what does Joe Biden always say? The proof is in the pudding, is in the eating. The proof is in the Perfect Smiles testimonials. So go to PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls. 844-500-4242. Hitting a lot of different stories today. And some of them are going to be really fun, too. We have some crazy, fun pop culture stories. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. That's right, 1, 2, 3. You get 3 thunderstorms. Just for our listeners, you're going to save $200 on the 3-Pack this week only. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Which of these is the most dead? Print, disco, Elvis, or journalism?
Journalism. I would still buy a printed newspaper or magazine if I thought the people writing it were normal and good journalists. But journalism is just dead.
Yes, 69% of the audience believes journalism is the most dead. 15% for disco, 12% for print, and just 4% for Elvis.
No, Elvis is not dead. He just went home.
Elvis is in the building. Yeah, there are some great journalists out there. Don't get me wrong. Howie Carr. I know he's listening, so I have to suck up to the boss. Glenn Greenwald. I mean, there are still people out there who are pushing the envelope. But in general, it's weak. I mean, here's a perfect example. All right. We have Democrat Representative Jim Clyburn. And I want to play what he said in an interview with Fox News. All right. This is cut 16.
I've always had voter ID. And that's why the representative earlier told you, no Democrat has ever been against voter ID.
No Democrat has ever been against voter ID. Okay? And that's a lie. I would pull sound and show you why, but you all know that's a lie. Because we've been told for the last few years that voter ID is racist. It's why the MLB almost went out of business, because they were supporting this idea that the Georgia voting laws were racist because they required ID. Of course, Democrats are against ID. What did Kamala Harris say the other day? That, you know, ID can mean a lot of different things. You know, if you got to go to a Kinko's, that can really throw a wrench into the mix. Democrats are very vocal about being against voter ID. And this whole thing where they can promote something for years and then turn around and say, we've never said that. It really makes you feel like you're insane. I mean, defund the police, Ilhan Omar, AOC, they've all said it. There have been puff pieces written about it. No, we actually mean defund the police. And then Jen Psaki gets out there and says, we don't want to defund the police. You guys want to defund the police. Huh? And here's the funniest part. I always say, can I get me a fact check here? I need a Glenn Kessler in the building. Glenn Kessler is the fact checker for the Washington Post. Don't get him confused with Daniel Dale from CNN, who accused Trump of being a serial liar who lies serially. Glenn Kessler is the same guy who wrote a fact check on Senator Tim Scott's upbringing and tried to say, well, yeah, his grandfather picked cotton, but it was on his own property. Yeah, so just so you remember what we're getting into here. He takes this cut of Jim Clyburn, where he's clearly lying. It's the easiest fact check of all time. You don't need Snopes. It's a big red X. It's a lie. And this is what he says. This is a snippet of what he said, but Clyburn's comments are pretty confusing. For almost 24 hours, I have repeatedly sought comment from his spokesperson, but she has not returned emails or calls. Now, all right, that's fair. And then he comes back. You know, he had a moment to think about it, to come up with an excuse for Clyburn. It's possible that when Clyburn refers to voter ID, he means just showing a voter registration card, which advocates of voter ID would say is not the same thing. Or maybe he's lying, Glenn. Maybe this is a fact check and you can fact check him. Absolute insanity, but that is why journalism is dead. We'll be back with voter fraud in Georgia. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.